Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Over the three previous meetings, we've been dealing with redeeming the time. I said yesterday to Candace, tomorrow I'm going to preach the fourth of my three messages. But I believe that this message pulls the other three together. That Jesus Christ himself gave a parable in which the three messages and the three things that we've dealt with in the three previous messages, he brought them all together in his people for the last days. And he shows us that the three things we've dealt with are going to mark the last church in the earth before Jesus Christ comes back. My message is the wise and the foolish virgins. Reading from Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye gather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open to us. And he answered and he said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Father, we do thank you for your word today. We do want to have listening ears. Lord God, we want to take heed to how we listen. We don't want to be hearers only. We don't want to only be emotionally affected and influenced. Lord God, we not only want to enjoy the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit working. We not only want to outwardly be affected and influenced and moved upon, but my God, we are looking for an inward regeneration. My God, we're looking, oh God, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with wisdom. Lord God, that we are going to walk circumspectly in this hour. And Lord God, that we might be a church that is filled with light. We don't want to be foolish virgins in this hour. But Lord God, we are asking that you make this church to be a wise virgin in this city, shining bright, holding forth a light in a dark hour, filled with the wisdom of God, having oil. Lord God, having a resource of oil, being filled with oil at the midnight hour. We don't want to be found bankrupt at the midnight hour. Lord God, in that hour in which you come, we don't want to be found, Lord God, without a light, without oil, and without wisdom. Lord God, I'm asking that you prepare us and make us ready. Lord God, that we'll be a church, Lord God, that does shine in the midst of this city for your glory and your praise and your honor. We love you. We gather here that you might speak to us, that you might work upon us, that we might become vessels that redeem the time, because the days are evil. Bless your word. Lord God, grant us a heart that perceives and understands. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. My message, the wise and the foolish virgins, were finishing this series on redeeming the time. And we have already dealt in the three previous messages with what redeeming the time means. We know that the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and 16, he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. He says, because the days are evil, they're hazardous to the spiritual life. And this is a diseased hour. It's a dangerous hour to real spirituality. It's a harmful hour to the real church of Jesus Christ. For those who really want to make it and walk through with God, it is a harmful hour. We're surrounded by dangers, false teachings, temptations, a real devil, and iniquity is abounding all around us. And the Apostle Paul says, in such an hour, we must redeem the time. If we're going to be a real church in the last days, we're going to have to redeem the time. How is it we're going to be wise virgins and not foolish virgins? How is it that this church will be a wise virgin rather than a foolish virgin that's rejected of God? What is that going to be decided on? It's going to be decided on whether we redeem the time. You personally, me as a preacher, we as a church, we are called to redeem the time. And if we redeem the time, we are going to have light in this church. We are going to have wisdom in this church. And the Holy Spirit is going to come and move for the glory of His own name. It was Jesus Christ in Matthew 16. He says, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? He was actually talking to His people and He said, you ought to be able to discern. In other words, you ought to be able to weigh up. You ought to be able to look at things, know the Word of God, and be able to scrutinize and discern the hour that you live in. You need to know, and we need to know as a church here, what is the hour that we live in. Jesus said you need to discern the signs of the times. In other words, the Bible has many individual signs. What's a sign? It points you in a direction, or it gives you information. A sign in this high street will say, look over here, the town hall's there, or the castle is down there at the end of the street. It is a pointer to take you somewhere or to give you an indication. Jesus said there are signs of the end times, or that He is coming soon. And He said, you need to be able to discern them. If this is the last hour, we ought to be able to discern. But you need to actually investigate. You need to weigh everything and know what hour it is. But it isn't sufficient just to know the time or the hour that we live in. It's not sufficient to know the season that we live in. If we discern, and if we have the ability to discern the signs. And saints, they're all around us. Look at the political world. Look at Israel. Look at Russia. Look at the governmental issues. Look at the moral society. Look at the church world. Look at the Catholic Church. You look at all these things. They are actually signs saying the last days are upon us. These are the signs, and you're to weigh them and to discern. But it isn't sufficient to be able to discern the times. We must know what to do. It's one thing to say, I discern these are real days. I discern we've reached the end of time. I discern that these are the last days. But that isn't sufficient. It's not enough to know that. What are you going to do with that information? Do you believe this morning that the last days are upon us? Do you believe that all of Scripture is being fulfilled in this hour? Do you believe that Jesus is coming very soon again for His church? Then you better know what to do. I want to tell you the most outstanding thing in this hour. If you believe that, if you don't go back to sleep, but if you really believe that, if you really believe He's coming, and the signs are there all over our world, explicitly, like they never have been in 2,000 years, you need to know what to do. You need to redeem the time. I believe that those who really discern this hour and what is happening in our world, they're gonna know that urging of the Spirit of God to say, if ever I'm gonna redeem the time, it's now. Now's my day to purchase back, to redeem the time, to not suffer loss in this hour. Notice that what we read here. In Matthew chapter 25, it says in verse 1, and this is Jesus giving a parable. I want you to notice that in chapter 24, he spoke all about the signs of the last day. Remember how his disciples came to him and said, Master, what is going to be the signs of the end days? What's going to be the signs of all of these things coming to pass? Matthew 24 is filled with things that are going to happen in the last days. He's talking about deception. He's talking about false prophets coming to deceive. He's talking about the dangers of the hour. He's talking about the nations and what's going to go on in them politically and religiously. He deals with all of this. But after dealing with all of that concern in the last days, in chapter 25, he immediately comes to the parable about the wise and the foolish virgins. Now notice in verse 1 of chapter 25, he says, then, he's talking about the days in which all of these things begin to happen, that last generation. He says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. The kingdom of heaven is the domain of God's rule on the earth. He's talking about the seen church or the visible church. What is God's kingdom on the earth in the last days? It is the church of Jesus Christ. What is the kingdom of God? It's where King Jesus reigns. It's where Christ is Lord. It's where he rules and he has dominion. I want to tell you, you don't see the nation submitting to his rule. You don't see the politics of our day doing it. You don't even see the carnal church doing it. But there is a real church that acknowledges the kingdom of God, or that Jesus is king of my life. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is those who say, we are in the kingdom of God. He is our king, and we have citizenship in the kingdom of God. Jesus actually says that the kingdom of heaven is likened to something. He says, if I'm going to explain to you what God's church in the last generation or in the end of time is going to look like, it's going to be like something. He tells us this parable about the wise and the foolish virgins. And he says the kingdom of God in that hour, in the end of time, in that deceptive hour, is likened unto 10 virgins. Now God's kingdom in the earth, and I believe in this day, in our generation, is likened to 10 virgins. As we look across our world, the fullness of what is called the church in this hour is like 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Jesus has given us a story or a parable. Notice in verse 13 what he says at the end of the parable. He says, watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What's he talking about? He's talking about the kingdom of God on the earth in the last days and that hour just before Jesus comes back again. He's talking about the coming of the Son of Man. He's talking about a particular day and hour in which Jesus is going to come back to his church. He is coming back for his church. Jesus is returning again in person. He said at the ascension, he said, the angel said, like you have seen him depart, he shall come in like manner. The same Jesus, the same person, in the same way. Jesus is coming back again. He won't be different. He will be physical, literal, and visible when he comes in the clouds with all the saints to reign upon the earth. And in our three previous messages, we dealt with how we redeem the time. First of all, to be filled with with light. What's the church of the last days going to be like? What's the church that Jesus comes for? It's going to be a church filled with light. What sort of Christian is Jesus coming back for? He's coming back for a Christian filled with light. But we know from Ephesians 5, somebody who calls himself a Christian but walks in darkness or walks in sin, he isn't coming back for them. They are a child of darkness, but a child of light walks in the light. If you don't walk in the light isn't in you. If your heart isn't holy, then there's no light in you. You need to be saved. But also we said the last day church is going to be filled with wisdom. What does it mean to be filled with wisdom? You have wisdom on knowing how to walk circumspectly. You actually seek for the will of God for your life, not to be led in some point of direction, but to walk in holiness and to walk in obedience. But thirdly, as we dealt with last week, to be filled with the Spirit. The last day church, the last church on the earth, is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who is He? Who is the real Holy Spirit? Because lots of the church today say they have the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit means we fall down, or we laugh, or we jerk. I want to tell you, that isn't the real Holy Spirit. The real Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. Show me a church not being led into truth. It's not a real church. It's not a virgin church. Show me a church that doesn't magnify Christ. They're caught up with all the games of religion. All they talk about is the Holy Spirit. They never mention Christ. It's not a virgin church. Show me a church that doesn't emphasize what the Bible says. It's not a virgin. It's not a virgin. It's a foolish virgin, if anything. Now I want you to see here with these foolish and these wise virgins, because Jesus said the kingdom of God, or the church visibly made up of the real and the false, you look at it and go, this is the church. Jesus said all of it isn't the church. It looks like the church. It thinks it's a church. It professes to know Jesus Christ, the wise and the foolish. And yet Jesus said they're all not going to make it. They're all not right, because the wise virgins, they have light, they have wisdom, and they have the Spirit. The foolish virgins, they don't have light, they don't have the Spirit, and they don't have wisdom. There is a separation. But I want to just point out to you, here this morning, some of the similarities. It says that they are all called virgins. The wise and the foolish are called virgins. What does it mean? Who are these 10 virgins? We get the answer in Revelation 14 and verse 4. It says about spiritual virgins that they are they which follow the Lamb. So who are these virgins? They are 10 virgins who follow the Lamb, and the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Who are the virgins? They say, we're following Christ. We've come out from the world. We are in the church. We are followers of Jesus. We believe in Him. That's what a spiritual virgin is. And yet you can have someone who says, I'm following the Lamb, and yet they're foolish. They're not ready to meet Him. They're not ready for His coming. They're not walking in what He has ordained. But look at these foolish virgins. As you look at all of them, you would say they're same. But look at them. 10 of them. They're virgins. They are all virgins. They're all following the Lamb. They all say they believe in Christ. They all say they believe in the cross. They all say that they're born again. They all say that they're going to heaven. They all say that they're ready for His coming. They all are praying for His return again. All of them are looking to get out of this world. All 10 of them say they're followers of the Lamb. Secondly, notice that they all had lamps. All of them. The foolish had lamps just like the wise. There was no difference there. They all had lamps. What is a lamp? A lamp is an outward thing, not an inward thing. It is an outward thing that you hold up to either give others light or to give everybody light, or to have light for your own feet to walk by. Even the foolish virgins had lamps with light in them, and they were holding it aloft to give light. Where you found the wise and the foolish together, there were lights. All of them had lamps in their hand. It didn't make a difference whether they're wise or foolish, real or false, ready or unready. All of them had lamps. What are these lamps? It's that means to carry the oil. It's talking about an outward experience with the Lord. It is saying we are Christians. We are followers of Christ. We want to make heaven. It's those who say, God answered my prayer. I prayed and he answered my prayer. I've got a testimony. I can tell you of things. I can feel things. I know God is here. You see, these foolish virgins, they do have an outward testimony. I've met many people in the church. They know this God is real. They know the Holy Spirit is real. They've experienced things. They've been touched in their hearts and their lives. They can tell you of things that happen. But yet it's all outward. It's not an inward experience. It is all outward. It's the outward testimony of an influence of the Holy Spirit. Hear me, because this lamp contains oil. It is really burning. It's real oil. It wasn't imagination. It's not just in their mind. It was real. Those foolish virgins had real Holy Ghost experiences. They could tell you about things the real Holy Spirit said or done in their life or spoke to them. They sat in meetings and the real Holy Spirit spoke to them, or done things very personal for them, and they could hold aloft the testimony, and they could tell you with emotion what the Holy Spirit has done. They had a real, tangible experience, and they didn't doubt it. This wasn't make-believe, it wasn't counterfeit, it was the real Holy Ghost. Both the real and the false, or the wise and the foolish virgins, all of them had an outward experience of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had dealt with all of them, moved on all of them, spoken to all of them. That's how real he is. But notice here, it was real oil in their testimony or in their lamp. You see, they did have light. They did have feelings. They did have warmth from that experience. They were touched of God, but it was all outward. But their heart was unchanged. It didn't make them wise unto obedience. It didn't bring repentance to their inward heart. It didn't change their character. It didn't change the direction of their life. But they did have an outward experience that they could speak about. It was very, very real. Notice thirdly, they all knew the bridegroom was coming and they were looking for him. They weren't scared of his coming. They weren't dreading his coming. They actually longed for the day Jesus would come back. All of them went out. All of them thought they were ready. Really in their heart, they all truly thought that they were ready. They all went out with great boldness, the wise and the foolish. It says they went forth to meet the bridegroom. They knew Jesus is coming back as a bridegroom to consummate the marriage, to be joined together, husband and wife. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride, the church of Jesus Christ. And here they are going out saying, we know he's coming. Look at these foolish virgins. I tell you, they don't look too foolish, do they? They know the real Holy Ghost. They know that they're to follow the Lamb. And they know that Jesus is coming back again. They know all of this. They don't seem very foolish, do they? Here they are. And they're saying, oh, I can't wait for him to come back. I tell you, those foolish virgins are discerning enough to say, look, we are living in the end days. Look at the signs of the time. We can discern we are drawn near the end. It's coming to the finality of all things. The foolish virgins actually knew it. They actually knew the end days, and yet they didn't do anything. That's why I say it's one thing to know all these things, but what are we going to do with it? The foolish virgins knew it. They knew the reality of it all, but it didn't affect them in the way that Christ wanted them to. Notice in verse 3 it says, they that were foolish. Verse 3, they that were foolish took their lamps. Notice he's speaking about the foolish. They took their lamps. And they took no oil with them. This is speaking about their entire testimony. This is how they've lived their Christian life. This is how they live their life in Christ and in the church. This is how they done it. How did they live their life? They took their lamps, but they had no oil with them. This embodies their testimony. But look, it's the real Holy Spirit in their lamp. They're carrying a lamp. They've got a testimony. They've got a prayer. They're in the house of God. But that is not enough. I want you to notice that these foolish virgins, they took lamps, but they took no reserve oil. All they had was an experience of the Holy Ghost. They had no resource of the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 4, it speaks about the wise. But the wise took oil. This is what makes the difference. This is the difference between being wise and being foolish. They're all virgins. They're all in the church. They all say they're waiting for Jesus to come back. But what is it that makes you wise or makes you foolish? It's whether you take oil with you or not. You see, the foolish did not have extra oil. All they had was oil of an outward experience, not the oil of an inward change. In verse 4, the wise, it says, they took oil, and notice this, in their vessels with their lamps. They didn't just have lamps, they had vessels. You see, what is the lamp? The lamp is the outward testimony. The lamp is the outward evidence. The lamp is the outward verbalization of that. The lamp is our works, as we heard at the Lord's table this morning. We do need works, but if all we have is works and not the inward work, they are vain. You'll go to hell twice as quickly. But look at all my works. That's why so many Christians in recent years, I mean preachers, and they said, look at Mother Teresa. What a woman of God. I'm going to tell you, Mother Teresa died in her sins.
Amen.
Do you know she believed that all religions, I've got friends watched her on television say it with their own lips. She said, the Buddhist just needs to be a good Buddhist. The Hindu needs to be a good Hindu. The Muslim needs to be a good Muslim. I tell you, that's a false gospel. That woman, if you read her testimony and you know anything about her, she didn't know Christ. I once asked a Pentecostal preacher, he told me, he said, if Mother Teresa isn't there, none of us will be there. Do you know what I said to him? I said, why do you say that? She's a good woman. Right, so we get to heaven by good deeds. She fed the poor, therefore she's in heaven. God help us. We've lost the message of justification by faith, regeneration of the Spirit, and a changed heart, and of sound faith. That's what saves you. Being good. I tell you, God help us. That's coming to the church of this day. So you can have outward works, you can have a lamp, but you're on your way to hell. But notice the wise virgins. They didn't just have an outward lamp with the real work of the Holy Spirit. They had a vessel. And then this vessel wasn't public. It wasn't on public view. It wasn't for others. It had nothing to do with anybody else. This vessel was carried secretly, privately, intimately. It was a vessel that contained the oil within it. It was unseen to the naked eye. You know, there's some people you might think there's not much happening with them. I tell you, they can be a deep river. There's some people, it's all spouting out. They've got nothing to give the Church of Jesus Christ. All they are is a talking mouth. I've seen too much of it. But there are those, they can be as private and personal as them, but there is a mighty river flowing. And when it breaks forth, we all see it and notice it. Notice here, it says that the wise had a vessel with them. They actually had it filled with oil. They had a personal, private, intimate vessel that had a source of oil. They had a source of oil. They had a reservoir. They had a storage place. You see, it wasn't just their outward testimony or some experience or some voice they heard or some feeling. That'll blow away.
Yeah.
But what they had was actually the source. They had an unlimited source to the Holy Spirit. They had a private, personal experience. I'm telling you, their experience over years. See, the foolish never had that. Over a period of years and of consistency, the wise did. It wasn't seen, but it was there. And it wouldn't come out and be fully manifest until a certain hour. Look at them here. These wise virgins, they do have a place to draw on. The Holy Spirit isn't an experience. He is a person. He is an indwelling person. They are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Their entire life is given over to Him. Not just to testify outwardly. Not just to have an experience. Not just for some manifestation. But it is a life given over to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is in charge. I am not my own. I don't own this body. I have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, and I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is jealous over these lives. God is jealous over your future and how you walk and where you go. There is a jealousy within the Holy Spirit. But look at the wise virgins. They are consecrated to Him. They have a constant source. They don't rely on a convention or some great preacher or some special event. They actually have a source in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is not an it. He is a person. He is an intimate acquaintance who leads them into the Word of God daily, who reveals the Son of God unto them, who gives them power to walk in the Spirit. You see, the foolish virgins never learned to walk in the Spirit. They were fulfilling the deeds of the flesh, the lust of the flesh. They're walking in the flesh, but they say they have the Holy Spirit. No, you cannot. There is a walk in the Spirit that none of us can walk in. You cannot walk. You cannot obey. We need to learn to walk in the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who does that. I cannot do that. I have a resource, thank God, this morning. I can't rely on my flesh or my good deeds or my power. I'm a weak clay vessel. But I tell you, I know a source. I know a reservoir. I know where to go back to when I get tired and weary and dry. I know who to go right back to. And there is a bountiful supply for everyone. Notice here that this issue of the private vessel filled with oil is what divides these virgins. This is what makes them either foolish or wise. Are you satisfied with an outward lamp? Or are you very careful about your private vessel filled with oil? Are you relying on the influence of others and this church? And I emphasize, we thank God for all this. I need this church. I need you. I need your prayers. But that isn't my source of life. I thank God for those things. But I have a private vessel, a place of meeting with Him. Who are these foolish and wise? Do you know the word foolish used here, what it actually means? It means to be dull or stupid. It means to be dull or stupid or heedless. In other words, someone who doesn't listen, as we heard this morning with the children. It's someone who doesn't actually listen. They can sit, they can hear, they can know, but they do not take heed. They're actually foolish. They are foolish. They're heedless. They don't listen to anybody. They've never really listened to the Word of God. Not in a way that changes them. They've heard the warnings. The Holy Spirit has tried to change them. He's tried to show them their lack. But they say, no, I've got my lamp. I know Jesus is coming. I'm following Him as my lamb. Everything is okay. And the Holy Spirit's trying to wake them up. But they're not heeding them. You know, one thing I learned a long time ago, if someone doesn't listen to the Bible, and someone doesn't listen to the Holy Spirit, why should I be annoyed if they don't listen to me? I'm not going to be able to convince someone to listen to me if they won't listen to God. I'd kill myself. But I know if someone listens to God, if I can but speak His word, they will listen. Because that's the mark of the real sheep. But what about the wise? Because the foolish inwardly, their thought is only of the present. They don't consider the future. They don't consider a day of judgment or a day of crisis. It's all about their outward and present situation. They never think about their private and their future situation. It's just now. Bless me now. Give me now. How do I feel now? They don't think about anything else. But the wise are very different. The word wise virgins used here by Jesus, it means to be thoughtful or to rein in and curb your thoughts. That's what the word literally means. It actually means to put all of your thoughts together in an ordered fashion. In other words, you know what you're doing. You've put it all together. That's what being wise is. You're curbing in your thoughts. All of us have thoughts. All of us have ideas. All of us have ambitions. But a wise virgin pulls all the thoughts in, curbs them. If I let every good thought that come to my brain, let it run, I would be a disaster. I would be running 100 different directions all at the same time. I'd be schizophrenic in 1,000 different directions. But the wise virgins pull everything in. They order their thoughts and they set themselves to say, I need oil. I must be prepared for a day. I don't know what's going to be ahead. I don't know what trials I'm going to face. I better listen to the preaching this morning. I don't know if I'll have it in the future. You don't know, saints. Don't take anything for granted. Don't take each other for granted. Don't take fellowship for granted. Be very careful. Notice that these wise virgins curb in the thoughts of their mind. Verse 5 it says, while the bridegroom tarried. Notice that this is being played out while the bridegroom's tarrying. Jesus is tarrying. Jesus seems to be delaying. Jesus seems to be taking a long time. They all thought Jesus would have come by now. They all thought it would have been over by now. They hoped it would have come to a consummation by now. But here it says, while the bridegroom tarried. You see, that tarrying is very important because it reveals the wise and the foolish. The wise and the foolish need time to either just walk for years with an outward testimony or to walk for years with a real inward experience. It's during that tarrying period. It's that time when the bridegroom tarries that it's all going to be revealed. During this time when we're waiting and we're praying and we're expecting and we're longing, it's at this time you're either going to make yourself wise or foolish by what you do with the oil. Well, I'll just come to another meeting and get blessed. You better move on from that. Amen. Notice here it says in verse 5 that while he tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Notice that it says they all slumbered and slept. Not just the foolish. The wise did as well. Verse 6 says, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out ye to meet him. You see, this is the great test and the great trial of this church right here now, although it's a young church. The great test is the tarrying of the bridegroom. That is going to test this church. That is going to make us either a wise virgin or a foolish virgin as a church. That tarrying process. And notice as well, it's not only his tarrying, but it's as we approach midnight. This church is going to be tested by a midnight hour. You see, the foolish do not expect a delay in the coming of Jesus. They do not prepare for dark days ahead. They just think of today. But they don't realize that their faith, their life, their Holy Spirit, their testimony is going to have to endure through a very dark hour. There's so many in our world who says, Jesus will never let us, the church, go through a midnight hour. An hour of pitch black. He won't do it. We'll be out of here before we have trouble or are persecuted or have to pay a price for our faith. There's going to be multitudes in the church who say, we'll be long gone before it gets too dark. Our laws come in against us. All over our world, they're saying Jesus would never let me suffer. He'll never let me go through trials. He'll never let my faith be tested. Oh yes, He will. In this hour, the last generation, they're being tested by a delay in Jesus coming. This church, real church, is actually gonna be faced with slumbering and sleep in a midnight hour. Do you know what the danger of an hour of darkness? When darkness comes into politics and into the law of the land and into the churches around us and into our society. You know the danger? You have a tendency to fall asleep. Well, I know the Lord. I know I'm saved. I know I'm ready to meet Him. I'm out of the world. I'm not living in the world. And you can easily fall asleep. I'm going to warn you, the wise virgins fell asleep. Why? Because Jesus was tarrying and it was getting dark. Even the wise fell asleep in this hour. What a test the darkness is. What a test that Christ delaying is coming is. Notice that they all slumbered and slept. Notice as well that all of them heard the midnight cry. A cry that awoke them up. The wise and the foolish woke up out of their sleep. They all arose, even the foolish. Look at the crisis hour. It's midnight. It's a dark, dark hour. And do you know what this midnight cry represents? A revival before Jesus takes His church. There is going to be one last revival. He's not coming back for a sleeping church. He's coming back for a church that's alive, that's alert, that's seeking for Him, that's longing for His coming. We may look, and the real church in this generation looks like it's asleep. Now, I look at good preachers all over the earth, many good men, and they're against the battle. They're feeling the darkness of this hour. It's almost like they're sleeping. There used to be in a day in the church there was fire and revival. In every local church there were souls coming in. But we've lost the fire and fallen asleep. But I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a midnight cry again. At the very darkest hour, there's going to come a midnight cry. Notice it says that they all began to arise. As they heard this cry, even the foolish virgins begin to stir themselves. They all rise up with an urgency. The foolish feel the urgency. The wise feel the urgency. And they all begin to trim their lamps. I want you to notice here, this word trimmed says they trimmed their lamps. Notice the outward testimony. That light shining as a public testimony. It had gone out. It had gone out. Even the wise, they let it limp down. They're not lost. You see, they've got that inward reservoir. They're regenerate, they're holy, they're pure, they know the Lord. But you know what? They're not preaching on the streets like the church used to. They're not winning souls like they used to. They're not praying like they used to. They're not evangelizing the nations like they used to. Let revival come to Limerick and Ireland again. We'll evangelize Europe. I want to tell you that. The church in Ireland, it was a small church of the 4th, 5th and 6th century. I'm going to tell you, they sent missionaries to Germany. They sent them to France. They sent them to Italy. They sent them to the furthest boundaries. It was a small church in Ireland. But there was a fire. There was a holiness. The church in this nation was alive. And it was hundreds of years before the church in this nation was put to sleep. But oh God, do it again. Do it again, Lord. Let the church hear the cry again. I believe there's a real church in this nation. And it is going to hear an awakening cry. Wake up out of your sleep. Stir yourself. Light. Trim your lamp again. Get that outward testimony burning again. Get back to what you used to do again. Get witness into your family and your friends and people on the street. Become alive again. Yes. You see, that's what the trimming of the lamp is. Let's get that outward testimony. Well, I'm still alive inwardly. I am alive. I love him. But you know what? I've drawn back.
Yeah.
Can a true believer do that? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I wish it wasn't so, but yes, I can be alive unto him. What did Jesus say? Let your light so shine. He says, don't let that light be hidden under a bushel. Can it be hid? Oh yes. You can have a light. You can be light. You can know the light. And yet you can actually hide it. You see, they were brought to a midnight hour. This is the last days before Jesus comes back. A midnight hour is the darkest point in time. It is a time where it's natural to sleep and slumber. Out in the world, it's party time. But in the church, it's sleeping time. Out there in the world, they're laughing, playing 12 o'clock at night. You go out there, they're partying, they're laughing, they're having fun. But not in the church. In the real church, at midnight. At midnight, what's the church doing? It's sleeping and slumbering. You have to go, what's wrong with you? Are you saved? Are you alive? Do you have oil? This is an hour for our light to shine like it never has shone.
Yes.
Just before Jesus comes back, there is going to be a last revival. I believe it. A last in gathering. A last opportunity before judgment. Before he judges this world. Before he removes the bride. Before he removes the Holy Spirit. He's going to send one last awakening. There's going to be a reviving of you and I, saints. I am a real Christian, but I want a Holy Ghost revival. This church is a real church, but I want a Holy Ghost revival to come to you and I. What is this person who comes crying, awake, behold the bridegroom cometh? He's a real preacher. That awakening will come through real preaching. Behold the bridegroom. It's not going to be about manifestations or a point in doctrine. It's going to be about a person, Jesus Christ. When revival comes, it's going to be all about Jesus Christ. It's going to be a preparing of the church to get out of here. It's going to be a making ready of that church. Our greatest hour is just ahead. It's the darkest hour, but it's the hour in which we're going to get revived. It is, saints of God. The very darkest hour, when it seems it's pitch black, when you can't see your hand before you, there's going to be a midnight revival. And God, one last time, is going to revive us and stir us, and we are going to be a testimony to this world in its darkest midnight hour. Saints, I'm talking about redeeming the time. This is how we redeem the time. Do you have oil here this morning? Do you have a resource of oil? Have you been purchasing the oil and the light and the wisdom? Are you making ready for that day of awakening? Are you now, week by week, are you purchasing what you need in order that we can be ready for that last great revival? You see, this midnight hour reveals everything. That hour of awakening, that last cry, that last preaching, that last revival is going to reveal everything. It's going to reveal who the wise are. And it's going to reveal who the foolish are. It's actually going to divide them. Listen to me before I close. This last revival is going to divide everyone. Everybody is sleeping. Everybody looks like virgins. Everybody is waiting for Jesus. But there's going to come one last move to divide and to reveal what we are. And to reveal who the wise are and who the foolish are. You see, at the midnight hour, in the midst of that awakening, the real church has light. It trims its lamp. It is the only light in the last hour. I want to tell you, there'll be no light in the schools, or in the political arena, or in the religious establishment, and they're all joining together over the next few years, I can assure you. Or they're pulling in the prosperity movement from America, the Catholic Church, and every other sort of immoral thing, and they're aging them together. It's happening. In the next 9 years, we are going to watch it happening before us. Do you know what? It is the darkest hour, but this is the hour in which our light is going to shine. When I begin to trim that lamp, it's dark everywhere. My light is going to burn as a fire. My light is going to shine to the nations. It's going to shine. I want the light to shine out of this church to nations. I'm praying that what happens here is going to affect nations. You might think I'm a fool. I tell you, I'll prove it to be true. Yes. There will shine out of this church a light that will know no boundaries. Somebody will go and preach this gospel. Somebody is going to go as a missionary and evangelist. Someone will go onto the high street. Notice in verse 8 it says, and the foolish said unto the wise. Notice it's an awakening. It's right at the point of this awakening in the darkest hour. The foolish say unto the wise, give us of your oil. They never said that all along, did they? Yeah. Oh, they weren't saying that. They're saying, here, look, I've got my testimony. I've got my experiences. We've got all manners of things. But now it's the midnight hour. You see, the foolish virgins, they've got no light at midnight. Do you know when it's darkest out there, there'll be no light coming from them. They can't shine as a light. You know why? They don't have oil. They're not wise. They haven't been wise. Here they are at the midnight hour, and they're saying to the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. We have no more light. All we have is an empty testimony. I can talk about things, but there's no light. There's no oil. There's no power of the Holy Ghost. If ever we needed him, we need him now, and we don't have him. What a disaster for the foolish virgins. Their outward religion was finished. They had no oil. They've been relying on other people's experiences. Notice they're asking the others, give us oil. They're still looking at man. That's all they'd ever known in Christianity. Oh, he's got the anointing. Oh, they've got it. But what about a holy life? There's gonna have to be a change. You see, the foolish virgin are man-centered, ministry-centered, not Christ-centered. They don't have that intimate experience. They don't have real regeneration. They don't have a real born-again experience. The false church is a mess church. I want to tell you that. They're immoral. The preachers are confused. They don't even preach the Bible anymore. They're a mess. The marriages of the worship leaders are a mess. The marriages of preachers and prophets and so-called apostles, they are a mess. But there's going to be an awakening. And you know what? This is the hour, I believe. Everything is being revealed for what it is. And they're going to be found bankrupt and absolutely empty. This is going to be a midnight hour. It's the greatest hour for the wise virgins. It's a tragic hour for the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins at midnight, they have no light. They have no oil. They have no wisdom. The light of these wise virgins are reproving the foolish virgins. Remember what light is. How do you know light? It reproves. Do you see the light in these wise virgins, in their lamps, is actually shining? The foolish virgins who have an empty light, no light, they're looking and saying, give me your oil. Give me your oil. It was reproving and exposing their emptiness. You don't have anything. Where is your oil? Where's your holiness? Where's your prayer life? Where's your evangelism? Where's your emphasis on Christ? Where's the preaching of the word? That is a foolish virgin church. It'll be destroyed in that hour. And there's many foolish virgin churches in our world that say, we're looking for Jesus, we preach. Yes, but you have no holiness, you have no oil, there's no light in you. You don't even preach repentance anymore. You don't preach salvation anymore. You don't preach a meeting with Christ. Just say a sinner's prayer. There, you're in. Do you want the Holy Ghost? Just say the first thought that comes into your mind. Just blabble it out. There you've got the Holy Spirit. That's a counterfeit. That is a false. They're foolish virgins. No wise virgin would do that. Do you know why? They know this oil is precious and it costs a price. Look at the foolish. Give us your oil. We need your oil. We don't have. We want the oil that you have. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye, listen to this advice. Oh, you can't have what I've got. I've spent years getting this. I've paid for this. I can't just give it away. I need oil in the last days. I need my oil. Listen to what they say. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Who are the sellers? It's the preachers. The true preachers. Those who preach the cross. Those who preach that it costs a price to get light. To have wisdom and to have the Spirit. That you will have to pay a price. That you will have to humble yourself. You will have to repent. That's who the sellers are. You see, the wise virgins are saying, that's where we got our oil. Through years of listening to the Word of God. Years of responding to the Word of God. Years of hearing what the Spirit of God was saying to the church. You go to the sellers and you buy for yourselves. Listen to me closely. Give me another couple of minutes as we close. It says, go to the sellers and buy for yourselves. We can't give you. You need to buy this. You don't get wisdom handed on a plate. You'll have to pay for the wisdom. And to be a light in this hour. And to be shining with oil on the inside. You will have to walk this out. Go buy for yourselves. The word buy there means to redeem. We've been talking about redeeming the time, haven't we? Over years. I'm buying wisdom. I'm buying light. I'm buying oil over years. Oh, it's not easy. I'm paying a price. Many heart dealings. Many crises. Failures along the way. Anyone not failed along the way? I've had failures along the way. You get up, you dust yourself down and say, I want to pay a price and go through with the Lord. You see, they're told, you need to go buy. You need to redeem. You need to go down to the spiritual marketplace. You should have been buying the Word of God as you heard it. Go buy for yourself. Buy what you heard preached. You foolish virgins, you heard the Word of God like us. You heard it all. You heard the same truths. You heard how to get oil and wisdom and light. You heard it. Just you never paid a price. You never done anything with it. You just sat there. That's why you're here at a midnight hour and you have nothing and you're empty and you're not ready for the coming of the Lord. Your experience is counterfeit. It's a lie, it's a mirage, and it's failing you. But the real church is shining. It's a small church, it's a real church, and it's a revived church. It's an evangelizing church. It's a church that can be seen in the darkest hour. But that virgin church is finished. It will be finished. That's why they'll join Rome. Those virgin churches, I tell you, that's where they're going. And they're starting it next year. All sign their joint agreement. We all believe the same in salvation. I want to tell you, Francis prays to Mary. He prays in front of idols. He kisses them. Fact. He's not a born-again Christian. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But we have top charismatic ministries who are going to sign agreements in. We all believe the same on salvation. Those foolish virgins, because they can't buy the truth, and they never have done. They haven't done it for years. Do you know what they're going to do? They're going to go to the biggies. The big boys in religious street. That's where they're going to go to cover their nakedness and their emptiness. It says, while they went to buy. Wonder who they went to buy off. Bet it wasn't a Holy Ghost preacher. A man of holiness. Cost too much. You haven't been in the habit of paying a price. You want it cheaply. They've gone to people to buy. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. It says, they that were ready, those who adjusted themselves, those who had prepared themselves, those who made themselves fit, are ready. And after this came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered unto them and said, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. I don't know you. Who are you? Oh, but we have been following the Lamb. We were waiting for the bridegroom. We were playing church. I don't know you. You're a stranger. You've missed it. You're late. You should have been doing this for years. Amen. It's over. Yeah. Look at the foolish virgins, the lack of their preparations, not paying the price, living for the present rather than the future. And last of all, as we finish, comparing themselves with others. Look at the wise virgins. They're slumbering. Look at the wise virgins, they're asleep. I'm as good as them. They're no different than me. Oh yes, they are. They have a resource of oil, you don't. And when you wake up, it'll be too late for you, but it won't be too late for them. They are the real. And he says, watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Only one life. Listen to me. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Please stand with me. Oh my Lord, let's open our hearts here as we close. My God, this is the hour to redeem. Saints, what we've heard about this morning, it is yet future, it is yet ahead. We are living in that hour when Jesus is tarrying. He is holding back. We are living in an hour of darkness. Darkness is closing in, but it hasn't reached its peak yet. I believe at its peak, we are going to hear the cry. The Lord is going to come and rescue the wise virgins. There is going to be one last Holy Ghost revival before we get out of here. But this is the hour we live in. Now is the time to buy the Word of God. Now is the time to purchase knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Now is the time to make sure you have a private secret vessel. You have a real experience of regeneration. You have a real intimacy with Christ. You know the Word of God. You love the Word of God. Now is the hour. You can't get ready on that day. It'll be too late then. If you wake up in that hour and find that your oil is empty, you've got no reserve, you didn't prepare, it's too late. Now is the hour to make ready. You must be born again. You must be walking with God. You need a vessel with oil in it. You need to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to be sure the real Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, living in you, guiding you to Christ, giving you a love for the Word of God, wooing you, drawing you, keeping you, convicting you, helping you to walk in holiness. Saints, I can't do it without Him. This Christian life, I cannot do it myself. I'll fail in my own flesh. I need to go back to Him and let Him take absolute control. Lord God, help us this morning. Even, Lord God, in these messages, redeeming the time. Lord God, teach us as a church. Teach us as individuals. My God, make us wise. Make us to be filled with light, O God, walking in holiness. Lord God, fill us with oil. Lord God, give us such a desire. Lord God, that our cups will be full and overflowing. We do want a public testimony. We do want testimonies of answers. Answered prayer. We do want an outward testimony of your reality, but more, Lord God, more so, we want that personal, intimate, private dealing with you. Lead us to Christ. Lead us into your Word.